The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And welcome to another week as we say hello to all of you. A lot happening, and we had this long build-up to the college football season that begins with media days. That was 3 weeks ago, but it starts to get real today when you start seeing the polls come out. And to the surprise of no one, except perhaps a writer in Texas, Bama's number one. Six teams in the top 25 from the SEC. There we go. Bama receiving almost all the first-place votes. Ohio State gets five. Georgia, a few. Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan. A&M is at the seventh spot. Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor. Oklahoma State, Oregon, NC State, Michigan State, Southern Cal, Pittsburgh, Miami, Texas getting a first-place vote. Is that our buddy Kirk Bowles? I don't think so. Wake Forest, Wisconsin, could be the same person that voted Vanderbilt to win the SEC East. Kentucky, Cincy, Arkansas. How about Cincinnati being ranked ahead of Arkansas? They play in the first game. Ole Miss and Houston. No LSU, but they probably want to be in the last poll, not the first poll. So that's, I think what all of us are coming to conclude is this, that after the first few, there are not a lot of contenders for the national championship. It is a very thin field. So that's where we are as we begin today our coverage, and we'll be here for the next 4 hours and look forward to you being here as well. Phone calls, of course, at 855-242-7285. We'll cover a number of things, including a rather surprising resignation at Oklahoma a little bit later on. What's behind that? We think we know. And your phone calls. And let's begin with John, who starts us off in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon. And I'm so grateful I don't have to file AC. I had to give my lunch money to your producers, but
let me ask you a question,
I lose
John,
my focus.
I feel like, you know, you're a contemporary of ours. We know you, or you're thoughtful, or you're smart. You have experience. What do you make out of this AC character when he calls in? How would you analyze or describe him?
Well, he's having a medical emergency down in his mom's basement, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's harsh.
And the other thing is, I think he uses a speaker box because he keeps coming in and out.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Either that or he has a very bad cell plan in Hoboken.
It's his mother's landline.
That's funny.
Anyways, welcome back.
We got landlines at our house for a specific reason, primarily more for my wife's work than for mine. And to this day, I don't even know our landline number.
Same here.
I would also like to know who I can call to get rid of my landlines, because obviously I'm paying for them.
They come with the package. Forget about it.
You can't get rid of it.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to you and Randy for putting in the 5-day work week. It's nice to hear hear Randy chirping in the background again.
Yeah, Randy's in trouble with the management, so you probably won't be hearing him nearly as often as you have in the past.
Hey, I don't listen every moment, every day, but is Jim MIA again?
I have not heard him lately, so that would indicate that there has been apparently some disrespect, an unfortunate level of disrespect delivered to him.
Yeah, so what's more believable? I-Man forgetting that he tucked some joints deep inside his boot, or Cal Gundy resigning for saying reading out loud a shameful word?
Yeah, you know, one thing about that, John, and that's all we know other than Bob Stoops tweeted today that that Coach Gundy is not a racist. I don't know if anyone accused him of that, but by tweeting that, it's pretty obvious that what Gundy read off of one of his players' iPads was a racial pejorative. I don't think that's all that difficult to understand. What I do have a hard time understanding is what happened next. What led to him being forced out as a veteran and longtime senior member of that staff? And I know this is
23 years.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's been that has happened in other places. But I need somebody to explain more. And I think the University of Oklahoma is doing a disservice by not just having a news conference and explaining exactly what happened. Don't hide behind language. Tell the truth.
Well, it sounds like Gundy pleaded his case by presenting his story. And as far as Iman's concerned, he will always be known now as Weed Man with that story.
Well said. John, thank you very much. The artist currently known as AC in New Jersey.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. And let me tell you something, Mr. Feinbaum. I don't always take words from expired products, because expired products, they decided to be, you should throw them away. And currently, as I'm checking, my phone line, the service is looking good. I guess your background cheerleaders, they like to play with the buttons. It's not a
toy. Are you
a
accusing the background boys of?
I am not accusing.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
When you,
well, hey, let me say something, AC. Don't start this passive aggressive BS. When you mention somebody that, you are accusing them. Don't tell me you're not accusing. Don't play senatorial word games like you're trying
second,
to cut a deal with Chuck Schumer here. I know what you just got through saying.
Sir, I am saying, do not play with the buttons. I'm not sure if they're doing it or not.
The first person who accused the background clowns or the background boys, excuse me. The background cheerleader. That was a Jim from Tuscaloosa line that you blatantly stole from him.
Well, hold on a second. Who are you talking about again? Who is that guy?
Who's which guy?
Forgotten. Yeah, the guy that you just mentioned.
Oh,
it doesn't
Jim?
Ring a bell to me. Oh, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't even know who you're talking about. Mr. Feinbaum. Come on, dude. I've been calling this station for, what, maybe like 3 months constantly?
Yeah.
You should know better. You should know how to play with the cards a little bit. You know what? Matter of fact, I'm going to give you the cards. I'll let you play with me. You know what? I'll let you play with every one of my boys. But I have nothing against you. I have nothing against the cheerleaders. I love me some cheerleaders. I am just saying it'll be nice if you do not play with the buttons.
Well, hold on one second, AC. Jamari, Luke, Danny, do you guys ever play with the buttons when AC is on the phone?
I am just saying.
One of those three cheerleaders who shall remain nameless just answered by saying, normally we're asleep during his calls.
Oh, that's good. They should be sleeping, because when I smash them, no one's going to know what happened to them, so I don't have to be accused or file a lawsuit. So, yeah, please take a nap if you want to. Do you have something else for? Why would you call out names and just, Mr. Feinbaum, you've been in this business forever. Why would you call out names in a public radio? Hey, this and that. Do you play with buttons? Probably you need a special counsel, and I do have a special counsel who could give you that service. I mean, why would you call out people like that, man?
I believe in calling people out. I don't think there's any detente or diplomacy that's applicable to talk radio. I think it's no holds barred, don't you?
What, do you feel this way, no holds barred? I mean, do you feel this way?
I think I just got through saying I did, yes. So that answer for you, I don't know how what Jersey lingo is, but that means affirmative yes.
Feel this way, so be it. I mean, it's whatever you're feeling today. Probably you had a bad weekend, or I don't know what happened in your household. I hope it's going well. I sent my prayers.
For your information, I don't understand the question about if something happened in my household. What is that supposed to mean, dude?
Because you just started with the whole blame game. I did not accuse anyone. Danny went on to call up my cheerleaders. I don't know what's going on. I understand it's a Monday, but I'll give you a pass. But let me tell you something, Mr. Palmer. Has anyone ever told
Let's give the veteran talk show host a pass. Okay, I get it. That felt like ageism to me. What about you, Randy? Oh,
yeah. Here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. Has anyone ever told you you have ears like elephants? Has anyone ever told you one is pointing to the Atlantic Ocean, another one's pointing to the Pacific Ocean? That's how far you can listen. So my thing is, you should not have any problem with my call unless you're the guy who's playing with the buttons. I am just saying, Mr. Feinbaum.
Was that a shot at my ears? I have to tell you, AC, I'm terribly disappointed in your behavior today. I feel like you have come in here and made two personal attacks on me, my family, my well-being, and my household, whatever that's supposed to mean.
I am just saying, if you feel attacked, then
I had a perfectly good weekend, AC. What about you?
Oh, I had a fantastic weekend because I'm breathing. I'm calling the station. I'm resting. So, yeah, I guess you and I had a great weekend. See, you and I, we're connecting right now. This is the way how we're supposed to go, man.
AC, I'm going to have to let you go here because it's either the lunch I had or I'm in desperate need of medication to get me through your next call. So we'll take a break here. More to come right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are here on a Monday afternoon, and we thank you for being a part of the program. James is up next. Hello, James.
How's it going, Paul?
Thank you, James.
I like to talk about Mr. AC calling and doing a little respect from you.
Well, thank you.
Obviously, he don't know what he's talking about. He must have home problems himself because that's why he's had a call, because nobody wants to listen to his whiny self.
Yeah, I don't know what he has, but he's a particularly difficult person to listen to. I think that's really what the big problem is. Do you agree, Randy?
Yes.
He's just, there's something shrill in his delivery.
Fingernails on a chalkboard.
Have you ever thought about all kinds of terrible things that could happen if somebody just started ripping your fingernails out? That's kind of how I feel when I'm listening to him.
I know, right? Like he's talking to a seashell or something.
I mean, torture is torture. I'm not advocating it, but I feel like waterboarding. I've never had. Have you ever been waterboarded?
No, but it sounds bad.
I have been waterboarded 5 minutes ago when AC called.
That's right.
Given the choice of waterboarded, being waterboarded, or listening to AC, I think I'll take my chances in the water.
That's right. I think, like Charles Realtown says, he needs a good can of country board.
He sure does, yeah. But I think that would only make it worse.
He'd probably be talking out of his lips here instead of his mouth.
You're right.
All right, have a good day,
Hey,
Bob.
Thank you for your support. We needed it. Yeah. I feel better already. I don't know about you. Wow, that was a rough, been a rough couple of minutes here. Yeah. Zach is in Gainesville. Hey, Zach.
Well, Paul, I mean, I was going to say something to you, but AC's so stupid. I mean, Jesus Christ.
How stupid?
But Paul, what I was going to say to you is, last year, I mean, it's almost pointless saying at this point. I'll say it, but you said the Heat wasn't going to play a factor with Utah, but sometimes I go outside in Gainesville and it's hotter at night than it is during the day with the humidity.
Well, true. No, it is one of the most humid places you can play football in. But I was just simply saying, I think in spite of the humidity, the lag, the.
You'll be okay?
I don't think so.
You all right, Paul?
Although
you got it?
I will say this. A couple of years ago, remember when Florida played Miami and Orlando on week zero about 3 years ago? We did our show on the field, and I think we had a recorded temperature down there of about 116 degrees. And it didn't, you're right, it didn't feel any better once the game started. It was pretty bad. But it could have been that we were already baked to death.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying. But yeah. And another thing I wanted to say is, you know, when Urban Meyer won his first national championship and then a second with a Heisman Trophy winner, he wasn't trying to move the game to Gainesville to get more recruiting days to catch an advantage. I think Kirby is just going on a power since he won this national championship. You know, we've always been humble. We won back-to-back basketball. I mean, I guess that's, we get that from
Tebow. Hold on just 1 second, Zach. We've had a great conversation, but I do feel obligated to ask you to repeat something you just said. Did I hear what you hear? So you said, Zach, we Florida people have always been humble. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, you guys always try to point us out to be the bad guys. I mean, especially, I guess you're a Tennessee low.
Hold on, I want to repeat this a few more times. And correct me if sometimes you can misquote somebody, and I never want to do that, being a good journalist. We Florida people have always been humble.
Well, because humble as in, you know, telling the truth.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know what I'm saying?
Do I need to repeat this again?
Everything
Florida
he said was
people
true.
Have
and I know what
always
you're doing.
Been humble.
You got to, Paul. You got to realize I was born in '97. I mean, I went through the Tebow days. I always saw the humble Florida days. You know?
Yeah, Zach. If you were born in '97, you did go through the Tebow days. You missed most of Spurrier's run, but not all of it. And you also got to enjoy Will Muschamp, McElwain.
So
and who was the last guy they had down there? Oh, Dan Mullen.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Paul,
the three Musketeers.
But Paul, what makes me different than most Florida fans, I was also conceived the first year Florida won their first national championship.
So you think, when were you born?
I was born in 1997, April 4th. I don't want to give too much out.
Well, so let's go back 9 months from April. When is that? September? October?
Yeah, about 4 months.
So you could have been conceived the night of the Florida-Georgia game in 97.
Yeah, that would have been something, wouldn't it? My parents were married, so.
Oh, well, that makes you different than me. You know, after all, I'm from Tennessee. I mean, let's go ahead and just insert the joke right then.
No, Tennessee's a good state. We vacation there a lot.
They weren't married, but they were related, okay?
Like, I went to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I do like Tennessee. But, yeah, it's been good talking to you, Paul.
Yeah, same. Wow, that was quite a conversation. That's now going to be a new thing for anybody that was born in recent history. We'll find out their birthday and then
what game they were conceived on.
Yeah, if you're born, so football season runs September through December. So that makes it 9 months from. Can somebody help me with the math here?
It could be anywhere from April to September.
Yeah, what's 9 months from September? June.
You'd go April to September?
Yeah, so this guy was actually not born. I was thinking 6 months. I was thinking of a dog. Anyway, let's get. Lee is in Cincinnati. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm another Gator fan, and I'm the epitome of humility as well.
Absolutely.
So, but in all seriousness,
I've said that to people before. Don't you think I'm humble? Not well.
But with the Gators this year, nobody really knows exactly what to expect from them. They're kind of a wait-and-see type thing. And so I was just wondering, in your opinion, how much do you think that the Utah game is, how far do you think it's going to go in showing how good the Gators are and defining how their season's going to be?
Well, Lee, I don't think it's the most important game. I think really ultimately Kentucky and Tennessee are going to be weighted more significantly because Utah is a – where is Utah ranked? Are they in the top 20?
Eighth,
or they're in the top 10.
I think they're number 8.
Yeah, you can tell how much I've been paying attention today. That would be an important win. I think that would send that flare up that the Gators are for real, and then if you can steal another game over the next few weeks, the expectations game will change dramatically.
Well, I agree with you on that. Once again, it's really tough to gauge on even if they really have a chance to beat Utah, if they're going to be in the game or if they're going to get blown out. There's just really no way to tell right now.
No, I would say you're right. I think there's always – you're going to hear this from a lot of commentators who will still be judging Florida on 2 years ago or some other – or the Alabama game last year. You'll hear a decent number of people predict Florida to win the game. I may even do it. Not that I matter, but I may do it. Because it's hard – for some of the reasons that the caller was debating a minute ago, that it is a difficult journey from – Utah to Gainesville, and the heat factor does matter. It doesn't matter in my mind as much at night as it does in the day, but it still matters. And there's no way for Utah to prepare for that. So that's a big factor. And we always tend to – there are certain schools that get inflated value, and Florida happens to be one of those right now.
I'm very thankful that they do, I'll be honest with you, because between you and me, Florida's an SEC team, but other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot to them. They have Anthony Richardson at quarterback, but we don't know the product they're going to put on the field. Just because they are Florida, like you said, they have an inflated expectation, and because they're part of the SEC, I think people expect more from them than I'm afraid what we might get this year. Billy Napier's going to be
a great
coach.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think the curve is terribly tough, but the one thing, and you heard Doering talk about this the other day when he sat here, is that Florida fans don't look at, like, hey, let's get to a bowl game. Florida fans think they should be in the mix every year. And even last year, as disastrous as it turned out, what did the Gators do? They came within one play of beating Alabama. They beat FSU. Does that matter as much as it used to? No. They beat Tennessee. They did a lot of things that make you believe that Florida wasn't that far away. And then you can turn the clock back to the Alabama game the year before. So there's always something in the water at Florida that gives you reason to believe, and I can't argue with it, and I would never argue with it.
No, I agree, and the hope does spring eternal deep within the Florida Gator breast. So,
well, listen.
Well, thanks very much for taking my call.
It's always great to hear from you. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Turtle next. Hello, Turtle.
Paul, you there?
I most certainly am. Thank you.
Paul, I've had one question for you for the past couple of years. You ready for it?
I most certainly am.
Paul, do you know how hard it is to not talk? No, you don't, because all you do is run your mouth. That's all you've been doing. All you know how to do is run your mouth, especially when it comes to my coach.
And who is your coach, Turtle?
The one in Tuscaloosa.
Nate Oates?
The greatest of all time, the GOAT.
So if I...
Paul, you there?
Yeah, I'm just listening. I don't understand your point.
Well, my coach made a point the other day that it was a rebuilding year. All right?
And he was complaining
about the NIL. All you can do is run your mouth about how my coach, all he knows how to do is complain. Well, all you know how to do is run your mouth.
You sound a little bit angry there, Turtle. Well, that's a new thing happening here, Randy. I've been eviscerated for criticizing Nick Saban.
It's a first.
Can we mark that down?
Say that.
Have I ever been blasted for being critical of Nick Saban? Wow. JK.
Fine, well, how you doing, my buddy?
JK, I am doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, the turtle, the tortoise, don't he know you work for the Disney Corporation?
I guess he does.
And ESPN. All Feinbaum does is what he has to do for ratings. He's going to talk about Nick when Nick wins. He's going to talk about him when he makes stupid comments. So y'all just bear with Paul and get over it. Get out of your feelings. Stop being all sensitive. This is what Paul does. And I don't see a damn thing wrong with what he said about what Saban said. He makes excuses when he loses. He cries when he can't stop the hurry-up offense.
JK, hold on 1 second, because I want to talk about this. Can you? I didn't look at the clock. Can you wait a minute? I want to revisit this in a minute, because I think we need to discuss this Nick Saban situation. And I agree. I know how many players he had to replace, but he also started the season last year number one in the country. We'll come back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We are here. It's been a busy, busy afternoon. A lot of rather strange calls. If you missed it earlier, we mentioned the U.S. This is the USA Today coaches poll that is first out, with Alabama at number one. That comes as no surprise whatsoever. And, of course, Ohio State, Georgia. It's just a lot of the usual suspects here, and we have Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, A&M, Utah, Oklahoma, Baylor. And as we continue with the poll, Oklahoma State, Oregon, NC State, Michigan State, Southern Cal, Pittsburgh, Miami, Texas with one first place vote, Wake Forest, Wisconsin, and Kentucky is in Cincinnati, Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Houston. And it's really interesting as you go through that poll. What does it mean? I think what it means, before we go back to JK and the calls, is that when you're voting right now, you're just simply looking at the board and going, after Alabama, after Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, it's tough. I mean, Notre Dame right now at number five, is that right? I mean, is that a stretch? Brand new coach. They are probably just going to get hammered in the first game at Ohio State, but it's very difficult. I was at lunch today with some people in our industry, they were more in a different part of the industry, and the guy asked me, so like, who else other than Alabama would be a contender this year? And I think Ohio State's the obvious choice, but beyond that, it becomes pretty thin. Even Georgia, I think you mentioned Georgia as a legitimate contender. They are. They're number three in the country preseason. But Georgia versus Alabama, there's some drop off when you consider the talent. Okay, we will say hello to a lot of we say hello to the television audience right now who has been watching basketball, and we say hello to you and say welcome aboard. It's been quite an afternoon over in Israel. Let's get to the headlines right now, and it's Alabama, number one in the country. Let's look at it again for those of you who were not with us a minute ago. It's Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson. Clemson, even after a subpar year, still number four. Notre Dame will, and then the list goes on and on. Oklahoma State in there, Oregon, NC State, Texas. How about Texas with a first place vote? Kentucky, Cincinnati, Arkansas. They meet week one, and then there's Ole Miss and Houston. There's a big story out of Oklahoma. Cale Gundy, one of the legends. Brother Mike, who's at Oklahoma State, is out. Why? It's pretty obvious, without any further explanation, that he read off of a iPad of a player, and everyone is now saying it, admitting it was a shameful description of obviously a racial pejorative, and the university has issued countless statements in the process. Tayshaun Butte almost left. He almost left LSU. What's it all about?
I thought about it. I really did. It was just a lot going on, but I felt like, as a player, I felt like it was just better for me to stay and overcome this process. Knowing that my teammates need me, the leadership, kind of off the field, even though I'm not doing what they're doing, I kind of try the best to stay focused and engaged. Well, I say my focus on football really been the same kind of NIL. It's just off the field stuff. But even though you're doing what you're doing, is football is number one.
Sean Butte with some very interesting comments there. A lot of comments here about the future of the NCAA basketball tournament. The president at Florida Gulf Coast, remember them from a couple of years ago? He's concerned whether his team and the type of basketball they play will be part of the tournament moving forward. I don't think that's the most important problem in college athletics. But everything seems to be going haywire. Meanwhile, Mark Emmert is on his way out after the NCAA basketball tournament, and the search for his replacement is going very slowly. We'll talk to Alan Blinder from the New York Times. He's got a fascinating and disturbing piece in today's paper about four players at Alabama 50 years ago, and trouble with CTE, Michael Bratton, Takiyo, and Nick Kelly from the Tuscaloosa News will join us later on. We were talking to J.K. earlier, and you're back. J.K., so you were upset. You weren't upset, but a caller a minute ago was blasting me for having just a couple of comments about what Nick Saban said last week about rebuilding, and you had a response.
Yeah, Paul. It's like this, man. It's just like this year. They got their preseason number one. They'll jump up and down and celebrate how big and bad they are. But when they lose, everybody is crammed into the witness protection program trying to come up with the best excuse on why they lost. I mean, it started when he couldn't stop the hurry up. Then he complained to the NCAA or whoever he complained to. Then he got beat by Clemson, and he was talking about a pick play was the reason they lost. Fast forward to January, it was because one wide receiver was hurt, but that wide receiver, Mechie, Brian Robinson, the Heisman winner, Will Anderson in the defense, they all played in the same Texas A&M game, and they lost, but there was no excuse for that game. It's just excuses when they win, but, you know, their chest swell up when they win. It's just part of being a fanatic in my eyesight. But, Paul, before we go on, let me kind of chime in on this little poll. First of all, we had fans in this part of my country that Clemson wasn't up to par. They had a down year, but they only had one more loss than Alabama. But somehow they're in the top 10. And whatever clown is drinking the new moonshine to give Texas any kind of vote in the top 25, and they finished at 5-7, what is it all about, Paul?
Well,
why not just rank these teams
again,
a week before the playoff committee?
Well, because this is all marketing. It doesn't mean anything. It especially doesn't mean anything when you consider that a group of people decide the most important aspect of college football, and that is the CFP ranking. Hey, thanks for the call. We are up against a break here. We thank you for being patient with us during this handoff back and forth between here and Israel. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Shannon, welcome. Good afternoon.
What's going on today, Paul? How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Paul, do you have any idea what AC stands for?
AC? I do not.
It must be like almost coherent.
Hey, let me correct you. It's not almost.
Well, then it must be anti-coherent. How about that? I've yet to understand what that guy's saying. And he comes on and rattles off for 5-6 minutes, and I don't have a clue what he's talking about.
No, nobody does.
Hey, Paul, did I hear a Florida fan say earlier that they had always been humble?
Yeah.
Humble in the sense of always telling the truth?
Humble and kind.
Paul,
Tim McGraw
since
song.
We've been... Yeah, always be humble and kind, right?
Always be humble and kind.
Paul, the Florida fans that I know, they wouldn't know humility if it fell out of the sky, landed on the face, and started to wiggle. I mean, humility is a foreign concept to them.
I have to agree with you in part, but I'm not allowed to totally agree with you on that. I will. That's against policy.
That's okay, Paul. Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you one question. The day that the Pac-10 news broke with USC and UCLA,
yeah,
that was the last day of June, June 30th, I think.
Correct.
There was a video that surfaced that day as well relating to Texas A&M recruiting.
Oh, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Now, Paul, tell me if I'm wrong, but I've watched that video multiple times. And that Texas A&M staffer says to those recruits, he motions to the luxury suites, and his exact words were, y'all going to get a lot of money from the people behind these suites if you come play here. Is that not what he said?
That's what I saw on the video that I looked at, yes.
So if you're telling a recruit you're going to get a lot of money if you come here, the if you come here, is that not an inducement?
Well, it could be interpreted that way.
It certainly could, couldn't it? I noticed Jimbo was asked about it at Media Days, and he brushed it off, said that staffer had only been there a month. But they must have a pretty good training program for the staffers if they've already picked up after a month.
Was that staffer's name Sliced Bread by any chance?
I think it was Sliced Onion Roll. I'm not sure who it was, but I'm telling you, he had the message pretty good.
I guess you're right because things started to slow down in July, but I never heard another word about it. And I don't even remember hearing Jimbo comment on it at Media Days. I guess he just swatted it away.
He quickly commented on it. He said it was like the first question maybe he was asked, and he said, hey, that staffer'd only been with us for a month. Heck, I mean, they got the staffer trained pretty good because he knows the message in such a short period of time.
Yeah, I think you're well said. Hey, Shannon, always great to hear from you. We're off and running here on a Monday. Alan Blinder joining us in a few minutes from the New York Times, my go-to source for all SEC news.